Sports Day for Kia.
The all-new Kia Sorento has landed.
Lumo Energy SA.
Energy from an Australian-owned company, that's Lumo SA.
And OTR.
With the OTR app, every fifth C coffee is free.
Yeah, good evening, Malcolm Blight and David Wilde, Sports Day SA. Number to ring 822-3000. If something is on your mind, a hot topic for car sales. We love cars. Car sales. A car sells every minute on car sales. So welcome, Malcolm Jack Blight. Blighty, how are you?
Good, thanks, David. Hey, David, what a day. Brad Crouch nominated St Kilda, leaving the Adelaide Crows and got to get a deal done there. We'll talk about that in
the poll. He fooled a few, though. We're hearing Geelong, hearing Sydney, St Kilda.
Gee whiz,
it'd be good for them.
Gee, they've recruited some in the last couple of years, haven't they? And also, of course, Kyle Hardigan is nominated. He wants to go to Hawthorn. So a very ordinary day. Well, hang on. When I say ordinary, a lot of movement away from the Adelaide Football Club. They are restricted free agents or free agents. That is their choice now. And the free agency is a thing that, you know, some people aren't all that fussed about. And I think that one of the things I think with the free agency, it's probably... Well, let's hear from Gil McLachlan, because a fair bit of this is going on.
When players move, the clubs that they leave generally do okay out of it as well. So I understand the argument, and we're generally, you know, things get looked at from time to time, but I don't believe free agency is distorting the competition. You know, coming into this grand final for the last five or six years, four grand finals, we had seven different teams competing. So I think that the people focus on free agency. I don't think the broad set of data supports that it's distorting the competition hugely.
Now, there's two things with this. There's a financial and there's a length of tenure. The financial thing, only clubs can afford, if we're doing it right in the AFL and no one's cheating, we hope that's the case, you can only spend so much in the salary cap, which is even. So that's not the issue. The issue to me is it becomes a ransom with length of tenure. They come for 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, six years, seven years. So that's the thing that pushed a lot of pressure back on the club they're at. Hey, Adelaide's going through it now. Someone else will go through it next year, the year after, the year after. It's just not the Adelaide Football Club going through this. The length of tenures are the one that causes the grief, I reckon, going forward.
Not when you go to a bottom club, though. If you're looking to go somewhere, you want to play finals. They're all wealthy anyhow. Tom Lynch goes to Richmond. Prestia to Richmond. Dangerfield goes to Geelong. They've been up there for a long while. Cameron now has nominated Geelong.
Yeah.
Not many nominate the bottom sides.
No, but David, something happened a little time ago, and if you could just bear with us on this, I'm talking about something here very charitable. A really dear lady who used to follow the Woodville Football Club and also the Adelaide Crows. Her name was Norma Roach. Great person. She hand-knitted a scarf after the Adelaide won premierships in 97-98, and she put every name on that scarf. It's quite a thing. When she passed away, we went to a funeral. It's my brother-in-law's mother. Their family came up and said, Malcolm, would you like this? Now, it is a priceless piece of thing. I've actually signed it, and it's going to go to a charity. You know, hopefully this can... And the charity is called Count Me In. Rick Nagel, you know,
played Rick.
Norwood and played in premiership sides, and keeps reminding me he kicked six goals in a grand final too. Yeah. And it's basically children's adults with disabilities and their carers. But he's actually now got something. He wants accessibility for everyone in the community to access buildings and public spaces. So if you know what I mean, he's trying to go through councils and legislation to raise some money so that wheelchairs, walking frames, sticks, prams, more inclusives, Count Me In. So there is a charity called Count Me In. This particular scarf is now on eBay, and it's under the Adelaide Football Club, Adelaide Crows, 97-98 scarf. If someone's out there would like to put a bid in, I think it's got another 4 or 5 days to go.
What do you think it's worth? What do you think?
Anything you get, if it was 500, if it was 1,000, if it was 2,000, I mean, whatever it is, it will help Rick and the Count Me In charity to try and get better access, everybody to count them in. So all players, so 97-98, Adelaide Crows, hand-knit scarf. Please have a bid, and it is a beautiful thing done by hand.
Well said. Just on Crouch and Hardigan, would you have kept Hardigan, he played reasonable. He had a reasonable year. He's good backup. Give him a 2 or 3 year deal.
I thought the last couple of years he's been handy.
We spoke with him a couple of months ago, and it hasn't been easy for him, has it? He's always been the...
He might be one of these at 27, 28. You know, his next 3 or 4 years, you know, should be his best. He's fit. He's always available. And going to Hawthorn right now, they're going to need some help too, aren't they?
And what compensation should Adelaide get for Brad Crouch?
Well, David, we've got a poll for Australian Made. The Australian Made logo, be sure it's Aussie. Look for the green and gold Aussie Made logo to be sure it's authentically Australian Made. If the Crows, this is the poll, if the Crows don't receive pick 2 as compensation for Brad Crouch, should they match his contracts and force a trade? David, you've got some numbers?
I've got the numbers, yes, 67%. Malcolm, no, 33%. So
they match his contract. So if they don't get pick 2.
Does he want to be here? You never know where they want to be here. They say that. He wants a fairly lengthy deal. You wonder whether his numbers have just diminished slightly. But good player, good bloke. I think if St Kilda get him, it's going to be good for them because they're on the rise. A couple more of those sort of players. Just want to go to Chris Davies talking about assistant coaches. We know Jeff Morris has been let go. There's going to be a few that they won't be able to retain, and Michael Voss has been sort of linked to North Melbourne. Here's Chris Davies on assistant coaches.
I think we've announced today that Jeff Morris won't be at the club next year. So you know, Jeff is one of our assistants who won't be returning. Nathan Bassett will be at Port Adelaide next year. So you can rule a line through that. And as I say, we're working through Michael's situation at the moment, but that does have a level of complexity around it on the basis that he's also got this senior coaching dream, which he's obviously told you about previously, that we need to work through as well.
Yeah, I think it'd be pretty good. Michael Voss, a big chance, I'd say, North Melbourne. And the other interesting thing about Port Adelaide going back in the sandfall, now the Crows, they want a team in there as well. Obviously, this year it didn't work out. But here's Chris Davies about them getting another side back into the sandfall. No, can't. Number 14.
Assuming that the world returns to some form of normality, we're absolutely committed to playing in the SANFL competition. You know, we'll want to win it next year. Simple as that. We've come close in my time. We haven't quite got there, but you know, if we're playing in the SANFL competition next year, which I think will be the case, that we'll want to go back into it and win it.
Now, Ken Hinckley named Coach of the Year at the Coaches Association last night. It's always, he finished on top of the ladder. It's always an interesting vote, that. I always think, as I've said 100 times now, I'd rather be Premiership Coach than Coach of the Year. However, we do have Troy from Collie, a Western Australian friend. He actually wants to talk about Port Adelaide going forward. Hi, Troy.
Hello, Malcolm and David. How are you, boys?
Good, Troy. Well,
yeah, good. Hey, I've been sitting back and listening it's been 5 days now since Port lost to Richmond, may I say, by one kick.
Mm-hmm.
And people have been, which is understandable, you know, they lost, but they've been very negative. They reckon that Port, you know, didn't play that well and everything like that. And I want to put a positive spin on it. If they didn't play that well on that, they're not really that far off the mark, are they?
No, that's very true. It's not even criticism. It was just a choice thing. That I thought they had one extra forward tall, too tall in the forward line. Just say a Kane Farrell played, for instance, he might have just snuck a goal and it would have been a draw and would have been extra time. And I mean, it's if buts and maybes, but I just thought they went a bit tall in the forward line.
They got smashed second half with all the stats.
Yeah, but even then,
still in the game.
Yeah, they're still in the game. So yeah, it was a very good performance. You wouldn't be disappointed if you're a Port Adelaide supporter, and you'd go now with some hope. I mean, you know, there's a couple retired, we know that. But some of the kids will have another year, another pre-season.
Thanks, Troy. They could easily won the game, no doubt about that. Hello, Mouse.
Hey, boys. How you going?
Good.
Now, you notice that you're getting a lot of calls from West Australia because we don't have any very good sports shows. Actually, we don't have any sports shows in the afternoon. We have to wait until the great Paul Hazelby and Langdon start at 6 o'clock, which is a very good show. But I've been listening to you a week, and Malcolm Blight, the great man, a bit of synergy there. I heard you talking last night, Bloody, about 2011 with Woodville Eagles and Geelong.
Yep.
You're the only bloke to coach both teams, too.
Yeah, thanks for that. I didn't actually say it for that reason. It was more that I did. Actually, Mouse is right.
He thinks the planets are aligning, Mouse, and you could well be right. I think a lot of people are tipping Geelong.
Did you hear us last night, Mouse? We had Colin Carter on, the Geelong president, and I said that to him about, you know, the fairy tale. And he said, I'm not very superstitious, but I think I will be this weekend. So that he wants to...
Yeah, 100% correct. Hello? Yeah, sorry, 100% correct. I listened last night. I was trying to ring in, but you must be very busy. I didn't get on. But I heard you also, two other things, so I'll be very quick. I heard you talking about the Sheffield Shield cricket. Now, David Wilde was a very good young cricketer, and if South Australia didn't have such a superstar batting lineup back in the mid-80s, he probably would have played Sheffield Shield cricket.
Yep. Yeah, he's told me that many times.
I've said nothing. And Jeremy Cameron?
Yeah, Jeremy Cameron. I think he's a very overrated player. I think he's the only good game he played the whole year this year. He kicked 6 goals against Fremantle. And I heard you also talking about the players who go from the bottom teams to the pre-draft players. They don't go to the bottom teams. Lachie Neale actually won the best and fairest at Fremantle and then went to the Brisbane Lions, who were in the bottom two.
Yeah, Fremantle.
He's one bloke that...
They certainly went up the ladder, and Fremantle were fairly down at the time too. But
and I know you listen to this, Mouse. I said at the time I could not believe that the best and fairest player, and he flew over South Australia
to get there.
I just don't know what Brisbane did, how they wangled that. I said at the time, went public and said, this is the greatest recruit I've seen for ages going to Brisbane.
Interesting. Thanks, Mouse. Interesting with Cameron. I'm not as enamoured as some. He started footy late, didn't he? We had him on and we spoke with him. 15, 16, yeah. But to me, Tom Lynch is a far more complete footballer than Cameron. Cameron's probably maybe a bit better on the ground, you say, but Lynch is a fantastic mark.
When he first started, I watched most of his games because with Gold Coast, and so you're comparing GWS. I mean, he used to get out the back a lot. He had that wonderful aerobic ability to get out the back. That's almost been shut down now. So they don't actually play that way the same way. They've actually changed the way they play that GWS, and I reckon it's hurt him.
Did they use it? I don't think the Giants used him properly either. You want your good forwards inside, 50 metres and inside, not running down the wing and half-back flank. Have we got Mike Sheehan on today too?
Oh, yeah.
Really looking forward to that. Of course, Open Mic has finished. He's a great interviewer, and he's pulled up stumps here. Blighty and Wields, time now for a Bristol-made Sea Coffee break.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. Lumo Energy SA. Energy from an Australian-owned company, that's Lumo SA. And OTR. With the OTR app, every fifth C coffee is free.
Yeah, Malcolm Blight, David Wilde talking coaches. Yeah, sad that looks like Reece Shaw won't coach North Melbourne. Probably won't coach again. And Michael Voss, he certainly will put his hand in the ring, you would think there. Our Mouse just texted also saying Lachie Neale was the... He actually made the play himself, said, I want to go to Brisbane off his own volition, and he's just coming off a best and fairest. Not bad, is it?
It's been
pretty good.
Yeah, and talking about that, Brad Crouch, should he get picked two? It's yes, 67%, no, 33% in our poll. And I was going to read out the Port Adelaide draft numbers. I'll just leave that for tomorrow night, I reckon, David, because we've got Mike Sheehan come up, and I would love to spend a bit more time with Mike, just his impressions of his show and then his career in AFL football.
We both like a little bet, gamble responsibly. You can have a bet with Betfair. When you win, we win. Call 1-800-858-858. And my win-win is probably Brad Crouch. I'd say, it's only a win-win if Brad Crouch goes to St Kilda and Adelaide can get pick number two, get a very, very good player. So that, to me, anything else is probably win-loss.
Can I just say, I've said this 100 times on this show, that the number you get picked doesn't mean you're going to be a great player.
No, but if you're losing a very good player, you need to get a good pick. Yeah, you don't want to take the chance on 53.
Yeah, but, well, pick three or four or five might be even a better player. Yeah. As it turns out, you don't know until hindsight. I think hindsight's the only way.
Lately, they're getting a little bit better, the picks, particularly one and two. What's your win-win?
My win-win is if you get on eBay tonight, or coming up shortly, there's an Adelaide Crows 97-98 scarf under that title, and it's all the players' names on it, all those blokes that
played. Every player.
Every player.
And the coach.
And the coach, and I signed it. So, and it's for a charity. Rick Nagel, count me in, a wonderful charity that Rick heads up. So, get a hold of that. That's a win-win. You get a great product, a hand-knitted scarf in the colours of the Crows, and you're giving some money to charity.
Okay, all that for Betfair this spring with Betfair, the online betting exchange that wants you to win. Betfair.com.au. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858. 858. Now, what do you got for me here?
Yeah, on way back Wednesday, you know, we spent a bit more time on this, but I just wanted to bring up a couple here. Oh, you know, today, this is the most amazing thing.
October, what are we, 22nd? 21st. Hey, you know, today, in 1977, was my first day of work in the bank. I wanted to bring that up for you way back Wednesday.
Oh, okay.
My first day of actual
You started in October?
Work. Yeah.
I started in January.
I left school and didn't finish the exams in year 12.
Yeah. See, I finished the exams and started in January.
I just wanted to get out.
Other people.
You know what?
And that's why we're more educated.
You started in the bank?
Yes, I did.
I hated the bank.
Oh, I loved it.
Never, ever liked the bank.
You're not going to believe this today. 1982, there was a little boy born.
1982, so he's 38?
38 years of age. And his name is Sean Burgoyne.
He's still playing.
Still playing.
Can I also
tell you, on this day in 1982, another player who played for the Crows was also born. He played 227 games, mainly in the back pocket. Great little player, Graham Johncock.
Oh, yeah.
So they were born. Yeah, they were born on the same day, would you believe? One still going, and Graham Johncock retired in 2013, 7 years ago. How's that for a way back Wednesday?
Okay, I just want to talk to you about OTR very quickly. $3 traditional dog features a mouthwatering Frank. You like your hot dogs.
Yeah,
made
I
of
love
them. Green, no sauce. You
never No. It is the only thing I have tomato sauce on is a hot dog. And I can't
tell
you. Yeah, I know. I can't believe why. No pie, no pasty, no nothing else.
We've got Mike Sheehan coming up shortly.
Yep.
You've worked with him. Just your recollections, because I think it's a... His body work has been amazing as a journalist, and then he came onto TV. He's been on the radio for a long while. Then he had his own show. You actually started working with him on Talking Footy many moons ago. What was your first running, if you like, with Mike?
He used to write footy in Melbourne. I mean, that's and when
was
I was
he
there,
nice to you?
Well, he was most times. Yeah, I mean, occasionally you write something. I might have done something anyhow. No, he was good actually. We started off that genre. Of On the Couch, we call it Talking Footy, and Bruce McAvaney, which we'll mention. And
a lot of shows that try to copy it.
Yeah, it was good because, and I'll mention this to Mike, and I think it's right, he was a journalist, so he came from a different look. Bruce was this wonderful knowledge of football and host, and then myself from a playing and a coaching point of view. So, yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed the show. We had a lot of fun with it. And then, of course, Mike went on to bigger and better things with his own show.
Now, you've sat on the set yourself a few years ago now. What was that experience like? Because that is at half an hour. It's probably, does it go longer you do now than they edit it?
Oh, yeah. I think they might have done me twice, an hour show.
To get all your good stuff in.
Oh, yeah, no. Well, it was a bit about playing and coaching, I suppose. But, no, look, it was good. I enjoyed it. It was good. He asked some tough questions, which hopefully I answered. And he's right. You don't need to answer them if you don't want to, if you don't feel comfortable.
Did pathetic Pittman get a mention? Or?
I think it probably did.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think a lot of all that stuff did. But we don't need to go there again, David.
No, all right. Well, we're going to have the man on shortly himself. Mike Sheehan, open mic, has hung up the microphone. Malcolm Blight and David Wilde. This is Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. Lumo Energy SA. Energy from an Australian-owned company, that's Lumo SA. And OTR. With the OTR app, every fifth C coffee is free.
Welcome back to Sports Day SA. Malcolm Blight and David Wilde for Tyre Power. The big footy final sales on now, and also 25% off on selected Kumho tyres. Well, last night we saw open mic with a difference. It was actually Mike Sheehan getting interviewed rather than Mike doing the grilling interviews he's done for a long while. Well over 200 episodes, one of my favourite shows, and it's all come to an end. He sort of explained it to why. I thought it might have been he'd had all the big stars on. It's tougher to get the talent, but he joins us now. Mike, congratulations. It's been a long innings, and it's come to an end.
Hi, David. Hi, Malcolm. Yes, it has. And I must say, the day after, I'm comfortable with it. I think the show developed, it's not unfair to say it developed a healthy reputation. It had 11 years, 230 shows. I'm not sure that I could make it any better than it was, and I think there was a risk that it might have just gone downhill a bit.
Was it getting harder? I just mentioned in the opening there to get the talent. You've had some massive names on there. And is it harder to get people on?
I was finding that. I spent, I know before the final show this year, In the 2 weeks prior to that, I reckon I'd contacted 17 people and didn't land one of them.
Gee.
And I thought that, I mean, I love the conversation. I love sitting down in front of the people that we have had on there. But I didn't want to spend all of next year spending 2 and 3 days a week just sort of coercing people, almost begging them to come on. So I decided that I was happy with the package and where we'd got it to, and it was a good time to move on.
Now, we'll talk about the show a bit more and all the things that happened, which I thought that last night's was terrific and some highlights. But what are you going to do now, Mike? What's Michael Sheehan going to do with the rest of his life, which we hope goes for a fair bit longer? But what are you going to do? Play some golf and what else?
Well, it's a good question, and I haven't actually addressed that, Blighty, which is probably a bit silly because I've always said to people, you should know where you're jumping to before you jump. but I've got a reasonable menu. I've got golf, as you talked about, which I can't imagine that I'd play more than twice a week tops.
Yep.
Unlike you, twice a week would do me. I've got 4 grandkids and a 5th one coming. I've got a place at Sorrento.
Yes, we know that.
And I've got, you know, a reasonable sort of friendship base that I enjoy having a coffee with and doing a few other things with. So I reckon I'll be okay. I'm not, you know, I suppose it's probably next winter that I'm more concerned about because I've never had a free winter and you're less inclined to be outdoors because of the climate over in this city. So that'll be suck it and see. But I'm not all that perturbed by it. I think I'll be able to cope.
Now, open mic. I mean, well, this is real reason you're on. I mean, obviously, you're a very good journalist prior to that, and then you got involved in TV with a show called Talking Footy, along with the great Bruce McAvaney and yours truly sitting on it.
And the great Malcolm
Blight. Oh, Michael.
Oh, you said it.
Yeah, yeah, thank goodness you said it. That could go up anywhere. But, I mean, it was an interesting move, wasn't it? You actually broke down a door by doing that. There weren't any journos at the time doing what you were about to do with that show. Now, there's lots of them now, but you actually broke the window.
Yep. Well, that's true, yeah. And it was Gary Fenton's baby at Channel 7. And I remember at the time, he just sort of floated aside. I said this last night. He said Macca would host it. Fenton, hoped to get Malcolm Blight as the coach. And he said, we'll have a journo. And his aim was to get me. And I was genuinely reluctant initially because I think we were much more comfortable in front of typewriters and sitting in press boxes than being on telly. And there's no doubt that we collectively had an inferiority complex that why would people want to listen to a journo who'd never played the game when you've got Blight and Matthews and Walls and these people who came later? Where's our credibility? So Gary was adamant that was a good balance, and I think you and I agree, Blighty, that it was a good balance to have the broadcaster and the footy expert and a journo who should be presumed to be able to ask the most incisive questions and probably had a broader focus than the football man. I think that's how it played out with you and I. I think you were very happy to focus on the inside-the-fence stuff, which I love, but I also had probably the broader vision of talking about things that had a political nature.
Yeah, but one of the things that always interests me, and I know we're both sensitive people apparently, and we sort of could turn our toes up a little bit occasionally, but I've always, the thing is, the respect that you had in the football world was great. Now, I didn't agree with everything you wrote, of course not, no one's possible, but one of the things, I had a great teacher by the name of Ron Joseph. When I first went to North Melbourne, Ron sort of convinced myself and Patsy to come over and have a crack over there. Ron Joseph, over knowing him over a long period of time, I think was probably the best football knowledge person I'd ever met. Understood the game,
Let me ask you this. You're talking about knowledge of what had gone before in a historical context or knowledge about how the game was played?
Knowledge about how the game was played, how players played it, how coaches coached it, how to administer it. So there's a guy that really didn't play football. But his knowledge of the whole umbrella of the game called football was the most impressive I've seen and probably the equal of anyone I've ever met after it. You didn't have to play the game. And so that was my argument, not with you, but with other people when they said, oh, what about Sheehan? I said, well, hang on. Listen to what he says. It actually makes sense. So it's not about what you did, it's about what you're doing.
What you know, too.
Yeah.
That's true. But Malcolm, but the difference is if you're Joe Blow sitting at home and listening to this show, and Blight says something and Sheehan says something, 9 out of 10 are going to take Blight's view, right? And I can understand that. But I've also always maintained that the game is the same for all of us.
Yeah.
You blokes like you, you just played it better than we did. But I've been on a footy ground when you've had to sit under a ball coming down, where you've had to kick a goal because the match depends on it, whether you decide to go or not go in a contest on a ground level. All those things don't change. They are just played at a better level when you go to the top grade.
I think you said that to Roger Merritt too. We're all entitled to have an opinion on it. That's brave taking him on.
I did.
Hey, have you lost many friends over your career because you were the hard-hitting Herald Sun chief footy writer? And like you say, you got to break stories. There was no internet in those early days, so whatever you broke was on your front lawn when the paper rolled up in the next morning.
Yeah, look, Bloody is probably the best person to answer this. I don't actually think I was hard-hitting. I mean, a lot of people say that, but I thought I was, I like to think I was fair, and I thought there were blokes who took bigger pot shots than I did, because I empathise with the players, and I love the players. They're still my heroes, the blokes who do it out on the field. So I was, I like to think, reluctant to take a big free hit at blokes who are out there doing the job. Is that fair, Blighty, or not?
Yeah, no, I found you fair, except when you wrote it about me and you bagged me, but that was the only time I felt...
what was that about?
No.
You remember that, because you are, if I'm sensitive, which I own up to, you are equally sensitive.
Oh, he's worse.
You don't own up to
he's worse.
Yeah.
I've noticed that, working with him for a couple of years.
Oh, no doubt.
Hey, we want to look at the best and worst. We'll do that after the break, but I was really intrigued when you spoke seriously about the toll it took with your family. When you're working as a journo, you work ridiculous hours, and you've got a great body of work, and it takes time. You're away from home a lot, and I thought you were very honest with that. You know, you said you're probably a better grandfather now than perhaps a husband and father at the time.
Yeah.
But it does sound we all try to do things for our family, but it often takes us away from those important times when perhaps you could be watching them play.
And David, the simple answer is the news cycle is 24/7. There are not many jobs that are 24/7.
Mm.
But news that doesn't... You can't say, oh, I'll have my news for today at 5 o'clock. I mean, it breaks when it breaks.
Mm.
So if you're a chief footy writer somewhere or the chief of whatever or you're responsible for that sport, you have to be around when the story breaks. You can't just ring up and sort of say, no, leave that. I'll come in tomorrow and write it then. If it happens, you've got to be across it. So I've got some guilt about what I didn't do in the family situation, but I suppose I rationalise it, and I've been helped through this by people sort of saying, well, the family situation wouldn't have been as comfortable as it was if you weren't doing the job you were doing.
Yeah,
I thought it was really good television there. Look, we'll take a break. Mike Sheehan, for energy from an Australian-owned company, switched to Lumo SA today. You can call 131 5866. I want to talk shortly with the best and the worst, and I'll never, ever forget the Mark Jackson interview. It was that bad, you just had to watch it. Time now for Bristol Made Sea Coffee Break.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. Lumo Energy SA. Energy from an Australian-owned company, that's Lumo SA. And OTR. With the OTR app, every fifth C coffee is free.
Welcome back to Sports Day. SA Mike Shin, our guest for Tyre Power, rewarding you more with a $100 FPOS card with 4 selected Maxxis tyres. Mike, I mentioned the infamous Mark Jackson interview. He was mad, he was crazy, but I couldn't take my eyes off the television. What are your memories of that one?
Yeah, well, that's the one. I was told, they said last night that Warwick Capper was the highest rating one. Sorry, Bloody, but they said Warwick Capper. But the one that wherever I go, people want to talk to me about the Mark Jackson episode. And I mean, Sam Newman says to me all the time, he said, I don't know why you're worried about that and why you cringed. He said, it was the best show you did.
Mm.
The commercial value was inestimable in his view. But he and I, hopefully, Sam and I are different. I don't like the confrontational way my natural style in that program, in that chair, is to converse with people, even if I'm asking them hard questions. it's to have a rational discussion rather than the way the brawl that it turned out to be with Jacko.
Just anyone that hasn't seen Open Mic, you should watch it. It's on Fox. It'll be replayed again, but also it will probably go on a thing called YouTube or something like that. Mm. All those platforms.
I thought Jacko wanted to kill him that day.
Yeah, I know.
Serious.
Hey, you know, one of the stories that you told last night was about your journalistic prowess, that you had a story where two Brownlow medalists by the name of Kelvin Templeton and Peter Moore were about to join the Melbourne Football Club, and you sat on the story. Now, to get the people listening tonight, you've got to understand that would be like Dustin Martin and Patrick Dangerfield going to North Melbourne.
$1 million, wasn't it?
Where they sit.
That's right.
That's how
exactly
big the story was. That's unbelievable, Mike. I mean, they ended up getting there and didn't do very much about it, but that's how big the story was at the time.
Yeah, well, I did make the point. I think that between hearing of the story in the germ of the story to having it published in the paper was probably 3 weeks. Now, the modern-day journo would sort of say, you're kidding. Mm. You know, you can't sit on a story like that. I didn't actually literally sit on it, but it took that long to piece it together to a point where I thought, yes, we can run with this. But even on the day that we published that story, I thought, this just sounds impossible. You know, you just couldn't think that would happen. And we're talking $1 million in 1982. Now, yeah. I'm not sure what it equates to in today's dollars,
lots.
But it's a lot.
Lot.
And this was, and they were for sale as a package deal. That was the first time I'd ever experienced like that, ever experienced anything that could occur like that. And remarkably, it happened probably 3 months later.
Now, is this going to be in a box set, Mike, like all these things now? You can buy the Open Mic series in a box set for Christmas or New Year or something
well,
like that?
I wouldn't do it, Bloody. I mean, and I think, if I can genuinely say this, I think I'm finished with the idea of having been and being committed to anything and doing any more work, right?
Yep.
I don't want to write a book. I've done what I think is the hard yards. If Fox chose to do it, if they rang me and said, what do you think about a box idea of the best of Open Mic, I'd sort of say, look, I can't believe you've waited this long to do it.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to go to them and sell the idea. It's their property.
Yeah.
I think it's a... I mean, so many people have had the same view about... So even if you pick, say, the best 25 ever of that, it would have to sell, I reckon. We brought a book out once of the... I think it was in the second or third year. Transcripts of interviews.
Yeah,
and that
did.
Sold well.
Yeah.
Now, imagine if you had Vision and dressed it up like they can do, I think it'd be a winner.
Yeah, and look, you've got hold of every major name. We can't mention them all here now, of course, but there's two that I know, or there's a few that you couldn't get on, Wayne Carey and Tony Lockett. They just wouldn't just wouldn't do it for you. Two of the biggest names in the game.
And I wanted Duck to be the last one. I sold the idea to him, and he agreed to it, and I said, look, I said, Wayne, I just want to trawl through your footy career because I love the way you played, you know, and there were two or three games I picked out and he was really surprised at how much I liked them. And I said, we'll have to sort of venture off the football for bits and pieces, but it's not going to be a Royal Commission. I just basically want to talk about your footy. And he said yes to that. And then someone got in his ear, I suspect it was Channel 7, and sort of said, look, why do you want to sort of regurgitate all that stuff? And you know, I still haven't heard from him, even though I've twice publicly said that Wayne was just that I couldn't find him. And I understood if he rang me and sort of said, look, I've had to think about it, I just don't think it's worth it, I would have understood that.
Yeah.
But the Plugger one's different. The Plugger just, Plugger and I had a falling out over his on field behaviour, and I remember I wrote this story, I knew it was going to have an impact, particularly on him, and then subsequently on me. I said, I'm no longer sure that Tony Lockett's good outweighs his bad. And it was after he ran through Peter Cavan at the SCG.
Mm.
And apparently that tipped him over the edge, and from then on, Sheehan was persona non grata with him, and I just was never able to get him. I had 20 people, I reckon, over the journey promised me they could get him. 20 couldn't deliver.
What about the grumpy Mick Malthouse? You couldn't get him?
No. And I sometimes I suppose people sort of say, oh, those answers I gave you, they might have thought they were private. But I formally asked Mick, by text, because I think I like the idea of sending a text message to someone, because they've got, they can read it in their own time, they can have a think about what their answer might be. So I said to Mick that I was finishing up this year. I thought it was important that he and I sat down and talked before I left. And Mick's response was he didn't think he could trust me with the questions. Well, gee, I've still got no idea what that means.
You had some heart-rending moments too, Merv Kane, Peter Schwab. I think you mentioned there's so many that it turned into that. What was the one that perhaps got to you the most?
Well, I think it's the Peter Schwab one. And even last night when I saw it again, I was sitting with a couple of my grown-up kids, and we watched that. And to see the pain and the anguish in his face, you know, I'm even talking to you guys about it now, just thinking, talking to a father about losing a five-year-old to cancer.
Yeah.
You know, and I just, it was just harrowing. And I mean, there are other ones, like the Merv Kane one you mentioned with his wife and his daughter, and one that I reckon almost started that genre of questioning for me was I had Mark Eustace on. You remember Mark Eustace's body?
Yeah, absolutely do.
And he got lost. He was this brilliant junior, played at Essendon, went to Richmond, went to Sydney, and then just got totally lost.
Yeah.
And he ran off the rails. And he was when he was at his lowest, he was keeping a diary of, he was working as a storeman during the night, going home, living alone, had a drug problem, all that sort of stuff. And he read a couple of entries out of his diary. And I can remember, I just couldn't believe that someone that low wasn't destined to do something really drastic.
Yeah.
But he got out of it, and he's come good. But, I mean, I know people say, some people used to sort of say, oh, you're really intrusive, or you push them too hard. But my view is, if you ask someone a question courteously and you know what you're talking about, it's up to them. I mean, if they choose not to answer,
correct,
they can just sort of say, no, I'm not going there, or leave it alone.
Absolutely. Hey, Mike, we're going to have to finish this up. We could talk to you forever, but this is probably the hardest question. I mean, you've asked a lot of hard questions in your life, but this is going to be one that you're going to have to finish this whole thing off with. I want you to name one highlight of your 50 years in this great game that we all love dearly. Your one highlight.
Just one.
Okay. One that I achieved, or one that I saw?
Either. Your highlight.
Okay. Well, my favourite game, not necessarily in terms of the exhibition of the skills, but in terms of what it meant to the community, was when the Bulldogs finally won, when they beat Sydney in the grand final. And that was as excited as I've ever been at a game of football.
Oh, good on you.
For me, probably watching you kick that goal from 95 metres at Princess Park.
It was 97 or 98. Just between 97 and a half metres. Get it right, Mike. Come on.
Now, I love watching you play, Bloody. In fact, you and I had, there were times we probably weren't enamoured of each other for various reasons that happen when people are in the same arena. But I genuinely love watching you play, and you are a genuine legend of this game.
Yeah, I think you are too, of what you've done, Mike. If you ever get over to Adelaide, come out, Blighty and I will take you out. We've got some great reds over here, as you know. We know you love a decent
David,
bottle of red.
David, you've been promising a great red.
Well, you got to get over. You got to come over. Last time you came over, I gave you a red, remember? We actually met, had a coffee, and I gave it, and I've got plenty at home. So you make the move over when you can get out of Melbourne, that is.
Supportive. You've been very supportive of me over a long time, and I always enjoy talking to you too.
Great stuff. All the best, and we'll keep in touch.
Thanks, boys.
Mike Sheehan, open mic. He's, put the microphone down after 230-odd episodes and had some of the biggest names we've ever seen. And it's must viewing. That's a good idea to get a box set of all the... Because, how long ago were you done? Was it 6-7 years ago?
I think it was 8-9.
Yeah. So sort of relive that, can't you? But he was very good.
But a great football person, right? He loved the game.
He's a great bloke.
Yeah.
He does like his wine, a bit like you.
Yeah, no, I played a bit with him at Cerrito Golf Club too.
I was a
member there.
Swing light?
He's a left-hander, actually.
Is he?
Yeah.
Khaki-hander. The all-new game-changing Kia Sorento has landed. Find out more at kia.com.au. That's it for us tonight. We'll be back doing it all over again tomorrow, but... Yeah, great to speak, Mike Sheehan, and I'll see you tomorrow between 6 and 7. Bye for now.
Bye, David.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. Lumo Energy SA. Energy from an Australian-owned company, that's Lumo SA. And OTR. With the OTR app, every fifth C coffee is free.